John chapter 4. Now our Lord here had been speaking to this woman at the well about the living water, speaking of being born of the Spirit of Christ and having life in that living water. And I want to see what happened once she went to the city and began to preach. Now let's start at verse 25. It says, "The woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am. I am. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men." Now here was her testimony. It's what she said to these men. She said in verse 29, "Come, see a man. Come, see a man. Come, see a man. Which told me all things. He told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Drop down to verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. And so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now here we have a known sinner. Everybody knew she was a sinner. Everybody in town knew this. And she speaks a very simple message. She just gives her testimony of who, of this one who came to her and what he did for her. And she just, that was a simple message that she spoke. And the result was that, is that here's a group of sinful, idolatrous Samaritans. And they believed on her. I believed on him, believed her, and believed on him. What can we glean from this? I've heard messages, read messages on how to be a soul winner and how to be a good witness, and you can glean some things from that here and how she, what she did. But there's something here that's even more important than that, and because the Lord's talking about this living water, he's talking about this power. We see here a demonstration of an absolute necessity. An absolute necessity. Only the gospel going forth by the Holy Spirit. The gospel must be preached. It's got to be spoken. And only the gospel going forth in the power of God in the Holy Spirit can regenerate a sinner, quicken a sinner, and even after we believe, it can still quicken us in our heart, takes the Spirit of God, and bring us to see our sin and what we are and believe on the Lord Jesus. It takes the power of God and the Holy Spirit to do this. And it's not of us. Now, that's what we see here. Right now, we see a woman, she goes there, and it's not the outward appearance of the vessel that's used. Powers of God. It's not the excellency of speech or the wisdom of the words, or that's not it. It's not in those who hear it. The power is of God. Now, I pray that the Spirit of God would really and truly come in power and really speak into our hearts and make us hear this gospel. Make us see Christ, make us see ourselves, make us know all things that ever we did, that we might trust Christ and believe on him. Now the power here is not of the outward appearance of the vessel. It's not in the outward appearance of the vessel. The Lord had just spoken into this woman's heart, made this word effectual, and as soon as she believed on him, she saw him, she believed on it, and just right that quick, she turned and takes off to the city and goes and preaches, goes and testifies, speaks of what he had done for her, of him. That was her message, was him. But she talked about what he had done. She hadn't had any time to do anything outwardly to make up for her past. She had. I mean, right then, he used her. Right then. She didn't have any time to make herself appear changed outwardly. She had no time to make herself appear outwardly religious to anybody. This woman was a sinner, and everybody knew she was a sinner. She was an adulteress. There was nothing outwardly about her to make anybody think this woman's a credible witness. She's probably the last person anybody in that town would have ever thought would have come speaking that she had been called by the Lord Jesus Christ. People wouldn't have thought she'd be the one speaking. And yet, when she testified of Christ, they believed. They believed. They believed on Christ. Consider the Master himself. Now, he is the power of God. He's the power of God who is God. But the Scripture says of him, he grew up a tender plant, a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty outwardly that'll make us desire him. Multitudes saw him, and they didn't believe on him. Multitudes saw him and didn't believe on him. They spoke evil of him. They spoke evil of him. We know that Joseph and Mary, they support, their child had to be born in a cow stable. We know this man, he grew up right over here at Nazareth. You know there's nothing good come out of Nazareth. Outwardly, he appeared to these Samaritans, to this woman and to those other Samaritans. Outwardly, he appeared to be just another Jew, just a man. The Samaritans hated the Jews hated the Samaritans, and that's all he appeared to them outwardly. What a better way, what better way for our Lord to manifest by the way he came and the way he used this woman immediately. What better way to manifest that the power's not of us, powers of him, powers of God. Without a doubt now, when the Spirit of God sanctifies a child of God and gives you a new heart for Christ, when he makes a new man within inwardly, there'll be an outward change. There's going to be some outward change in a person. There's no doubt about that. You have a heart that's constrained by Christ's love for you. You behold one who came and humbled himself and went to the cross and suffered so greatly in your room instead and redeemed all his people from the curse of the law. And behold in him, you want to honor him. You want to adorn the doctrine of Christ in all things, and you don't want to do anything to bring reproach on the gospel. He'll bridle your tongue so you don't bring reproach on the gospel. He'll bridle your heart so you don't bring reproach on the gospel. And by the same token, you don't want to do anything outwardly to make yourself the attraction that would make people want to follow Christ. You don't want to do that. You just don't want to do that. And if you do either of those, that breaks your heart. It breaks your heart because of the love you have for Christ and the love you have for your brethren. There's no greater burden. But here's the good news we see in this Samaritan woman to strengthen our weak hands and our feeble knees It's not the outward appearance of the vessel that's going to help or hinder the gospel, because the power's of God and not of us. This woman went out of that city a known adulteress, and she returned to that city a known adulteress. The difference was the difference God made. That was the difference. That was the difference. She went out carrying an empty earthen vessel to draw physical water, but by the power of God, she returned herself being an earthen vessel filled with living water. She went out of there with an empty vessel. She came back being a vessel filled with the treasure. And the difference was the difference God made. The outward appearance of the Redeemer and her outward appearance wasn't what made the difference at all. Neither one. Neither one. Our Lord could have come and made himself appear like he did on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you saw the result of that. Peter wanted to build a monument to him and Moses and Elijah. And that's something like that's what would have happened if he saved you and made you appear like Moses and Elijah right off the bat. We'd be building, wanting to build altars to you. But he didn't. What's he teaching us, brethren? The powers of him. The powers of the Spirit of God. The power is not of us. It's of him. Now, secondly here, I want you to see that the power is not in the excellency of speech. Now, this woman hadn't been to a seminary to learn how to win souls. She didn't know anything about anything like that. Thankfully, she didn't. These outward appearance of garment, of religious garments, and learning just how to speak just right, that's not what's going to cause somebody to hear the gospel. She wasn't eloquent. She didn't speak any deep doctrine for anybody to hear and know. She simply plainly testified of what Christ had done for her. She said, "Come see a man." That was her message. She didn't come there speaking of particular doctrine. She said, "Come see this man. He told me all things that ever I did." Is this not the Christ? Is this not the Christ? Many use a passage like this as an excuse to take the offense out of the gospel. Now, that's not what I'm saying at all. We're not excusing outward sin, and we're not saying we should take the offense out of the gospel. That's not what we're talking about. You've heard it before. Somebody will, you're preaching, you're telling them the truth of the gospel, and they'll say, "Well, the woman at the well didn't, the Lord didn't say that doctrine to her. He didn't teach her about election and particular redemption. The thief on the cross, he didn't hear about irresistible grace." Brethren, Christ is the truth. He is the truth. The truth came to her. The gospel came to her. He is the gospel. And he revealed himself in her heart. He's the truth of every doctrine that's preached in truth. He's the light from which all doctrine gets its light. He himself is the gospel. He is redemption. It's him. The woman said, "I know that when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "He that speaks to you, I am. I am." And that came forth in power in verse 29. She came, and this is what she said: "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did." She said, "I know when he comes, he's going to tell us all things." And the Lord said, "I am." And she went and said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did." Is this not the Christ? You remember, look at John 14. This is what the Lord said in John 14, verse 26. He said, in verse 25, he says, "Now these things I've spoken to you, being present with you." He's the power of God. And when he speaks, we see he makes this word effectual. But now when he departed, does that mean the power departed? No. Watch. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. She said, this man taught me all things ever I did. And he said, when the Spirit's come, he will teach you all things. And to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at chapter 16 and look at verse 14. He shall glorify me, the Spirit said. He'll glorify me. You know what that word glorify means? You know, glow, the light. God has shined in our heart to give us the light of the glory of the God in the face of Christ Jesus. He's going to glorify me. He's going to make us see him glorified in our heart. And look what he says here in verse 14. He'll receive of mine and shall show it to you. Show it to you. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now my point here is, it's not the wisdom of words. It's not the way men preach I was talking to Brother Rupert one time and telling him I was working on a message. So to him, I said, I've gone back to this two or three times. And I keep changing my notes. And he said, if you get it too organized, you'll mess it up. And that's right. It's not the well-organized, best way of saying things and having all your words just right, that's not it. That won't make it. I want to be clear. I want to be plain. I want people to understand. But that's not what the power is. And so much of preaching is designed to impress the hearer. It's designed to make the hearer to be persuaded by the words being spoken. But now watch. That's what was going on at Corinth. When you hear about them, Paul talking to them about speaking in tongues. They had languages. They could all speak in different languages. But what they were doing was they were trying to use this gift to impress people by how well they had these gifts and they could all speak in different languages. They were trying to get people to follow Christ using that gift, not because of what they were preaching, but because of the fact they could speak in different languages. And that's no different than today when people are trying to impress people by the excellency of speech and the wisdom of words and what have you. Look what Paul said here. 1 Corinthians 14:24. He said, now if you stop trying to impress people with this gift of speaking, he said, instead of that, you simply preach the gospel of Christ. He says there, he's not talking about all of them getting up and preaching. He said, now when it comes each of your turn who's scheduled to preach and you get up and you preach, if you just preach Christ. He said, watch this. He said, and there come in one that believes not and are one unlearned. He's convinced of all and he's judged of all. Of all that speak, he hears it in every message. He's going to hear the same glorious good news of Christ. And he's convinced of all and judged of all. The Spirit of God does this. He convinces us of sin because we don't believe on Christ. He doesn't do that just the first time. He keeps doing that to us. When we hear the gospel, that's what he's convinced of. You've not been looking at me and believing on me. You've been trying to work out your righteousness. I'm your righteousness. You're worried about judgment and bondage and being brought back into the fear of bondage. Judgment settled. I've given you the spirit of adoption, not the spirit of bondage. The serpent's head's bruised. And he convinces us of these things. How does he do that? He makes us see him. He makes us behold him. Everything's in the light of him. Remember he said, you believe on me, you'll understand the doctrine. It's in the light of him. And look, he said, and so he convinces you of all things, and by all of you speaking, this man's convinced that you're all preaching the same word. Look, and thus the Spirit goes forth, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. This word comes into the heart, and it comes with power, and it manifests to us what's really in our heart. It manifests to the sinner what's really in his heart. And he doesn't just tug at you when he does it. He comes in like dynamite. He comes in like a two-edged sword, cutting to the thoughts and intents of the heart, and makes you know what you are. He makes you know all things that ever you did is nothing but sin. That's what he makes you know. We're not going to look to Christ for all things till we see that all things we ever did was sin. It was a much more than just the Lord telling her, I know that you're an adulteress. That if somebody came to you and told you some things about your life, you know what we'd think? They've been sneaking around checking up on me and they know something, you know, they found out things about me or whatever. But when the Spirit speaks in your heart, he makes you know it's the Lord speaking. He makes you know. You know, you've sat there and heard a message and thought, now, were you listening to me last night at home? Did you hear what we were talking about? No, but God did. And when he comes, he makes you know it's him speaking. And he makes you see him and makes you know all things ever you did was sin. He's your only righteousness. That's how he makes you know everything you ever did was sin, by making you see him in his glory as the righteousness of God. God's not pleased with us. He's not pleased with anything we do. He's not going to please with works of our flesh and our good high opinions of ourselves or our low opinions of ourselves. He's not concerned with anything about us. It's his Son. He's going to have his Son glorified. He's going to have his Son magnified. And he's going to have his Son magnified in the hearts of his people in truth. And this is what the Spirit convinces us of. Look, watch this. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. What's the result? So falling down on his face, broken and contrite in his heart. In his heart, he falls down. He falls down like that publican and smote upon his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And he says, and he'll worship God, and then he'll report. He'll go bearing witness. God is in you of a truth. He's in you of a truth. That's why she went reporting. She went straight to those people, and she said, is this not the Christ? I know this is him. I've heard other false Christ speak, I've heard, and it didn't do this. He spoke, and he told me all I ever did was sin, and I know it. I know it. I know he's my righteousness. He spoke in power. That's why I showed you last time. You remember when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, saw him high and lifted up. He said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I am. And everybody around me is. How did he know that? He said, for my eyes have seen the King. I've seen him in his glory. That's how I know I'm undone. Same thing with Job. I've heard about you with the hearing of the ear. I sat and heard the general call many times. Now, it doesn't mean he wasn't a believer. But this is how he does this every time when he comes to you in power. He makes you feel like, I only heard him with the hearing of the ear before. Today, I see him. And what happens? I repent in sackcloth and ash. I abhor myself. You hate yourself. Oh, you can't tell people that today. Love yourself. He's going to make us know there's nothing in us to love. He's the one worthy of love. She had the unction from the Holy One, and she knew all things. And the sure effect is the same. She had a broken and a contrite heart. She fell down and worshiped Christ, and so did those that heard by the same power. Here's the point, brethren. Christ must be preached in truth. There's no doubt about that. We don't take the offense out of the gospel. That's not what's being taught in our passage. We have to preach the gospel. But the faith doesn't stand in the excellency of our speech or the wisdom of our words. It doesn't even stand if a man hears you preach tulip as clear and straight as it can be preached. Man can know tulip be straight as a gun barrel and twice as empty. It does not It's not that. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach Christ. We're going to preach the total ruin of all men and how that God unconditionally chose a people by his grace, not based on anything in us. We're going to preach those are the ones Christ died for and redeemed them all by his blood. We're going to preach that this necessity of the power of the Spirit coming in. We're going to preach that perseverance of faith is not just the believer having this strong faith so that everybody can go around and look at how strong he is. It's God preserving him. But here's the thing. It's going to take the Spirit of God to make a sinner know that by beholding Christ in his righteousness. When we say Christ is all, that's not just a slogan. That's not just a creed. It's so. Now, the power, the last thing, and I'll be brief here because we've seen this pretty well, but the power is not of those who hear it proclaimed. The power is not enough. Now, you get this. She didn't make herself hear. She didn't. Her friends didn't make themselves hear. And here's another thing to pay attention to here. Those the Lord had already called, those disciples he'd already called, at that time, they're standing there, they didn't make themselves hear either. They stood there as the Lord's apostles, those he already quickened and given faith to hear. They stood there and they heard him speak the same word that she heard. They didn't take off running to go tell those people. What did they do? They stood there marveling that he was talking to this woman, a Samaritan, who was a sinner. And a woman, that was scandalous. And he received her to talk to him and ask him questions and talk to him. They marveled at that. And you know that the Spirit of God wasn't what made them sit there and marvel. That was their flesh. Because the Spirit of God would make you say, if he received me and he spoke to me, I can't marvel that he ever speaks to another sinner. So why didn't they hear? Because at that time, he was speaking into her heart. The general call goes forth. We know that doctrine. The general call goes forth. Everybody hears the same word. But what makes you hear it and breaks your heart and brings you to the feet of Christ? The Spirit of God's got to speak in your heart. It didn't mean the word wasn't going forth in power just because they didn't hear it. It was going forth in power to the one the Lord was speaking to. We have to remember that, brethren. If I don't hear, that doesn't mean the word's not going forth. It just means I'm not hearing. What do I need to do? I don't know, but the Spirit of God will teach you, but maybe there's something that I can't hear. But it doesn't mean the word's not going forth in power. But those brethren she preached to, you know, some of them heard, some of them didn't hear. They all heard the same word preached. Some heard with spiritual ears. Some didn't hear at all. What was the difference? The difference is the power of God. Power of God. I want to just turn over now to 1 Corinthians 1. I just want to read this and try not to comment much. You know how I am when I try to do that. But 1 Corinthians 1, 5. This is what Paul's talking about. We're going to take out some of the stuff in between and just read what applies here to this message. And this is exactly what Paul's saying. Look here, 1 Corinthians 1, 5. In everything you are enriched, in all utterance and in all knowledge. How did she preach what she preached? How did she utter what she spoke to those people? The power of the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that can make you stand up and tell the truth. What does the Lord said? A man cannot call him Lord but by the Spirit of God. I mean, anybody can call him Lord, but in the heart. And some folks can't call him Lord with the mouth. They just can't speak of him. But when the Spirit of God comes, you can. And you don't care who hears you. You're willing to be rejected. You're going to tell folks the truth. And so in all of that, in all knowledge, look verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. That's what she was given, her testimony. The gospel was confirmed in her. It's all of him by him. Look at verse 17. He says, for Christ, he sent me not to baptize. I'm not just looking for numbers. That's the cause of why people are turning this thing, taking the offense out, trying to impress people and get people in. They're trying to get numbers. That's what he's talking about. He didn't send me to just try to make converts. As Spurgeon used to say, there's been a lot of converts that are mine, but there's been some that are the Lord's. And he's saying, the Lord sent me to preach Christ. Watch. He said, he sent me to, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's all of us by nature. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we're seeing why it's the power of God, because the Spirit comes forth in power. Look, for it's written, here's why it's this way. This is why God does it the way he does it, through preaching. I will, God said, destroy the wisdom of the wise. Doesn't he do that in us, brethren? Doesn't he destroy our wisdom? Look, I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He will turn our playground upside down. Make us understand why all we were doing is leaning to our own understanding. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath God not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You're not going to find that attitude and spirit in his church, not in those he's speaking in. But look, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by this thing they call foolishness, the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. They won't see some outward. The Greeks seek after wisdom. They want something to tickle the ears. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called. Not to everybody, but to them the Lord sends it to, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it's not our outward appearance either. Look at verse 26. You see your calling, brethren? There's not many wise men after the flesh. There's not many mighty. There's not many noble that he calls. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's talking about us right here particularly. You that he's called. Foolish thing. He says, he's chosen weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Weak things. Base things of the world, things which are despised, known adulteress, sends her right. There ain't a church I know of in the South that would have sent that woman to preach, to speak the truth to anybody. Ain't a one of them that would have done it. Most religion would have not done it. You got to hold up for a little while, let us see that something's been happening to you, whatever. Lord, send her right then. Why? He's showing us this power is not of us. It's not of us. Watch this. And he says there, he's chosen these things which are not, they're nothing, to bring to nothing things that are. What better way to make us come to nothing than him to use a despised sinner that we wouldn't have anything to do? You take somebody that you just think their lifestyle's horrible, you don't agree with them, you wouldn't have anything to do with them, and you just imagine that person coming to you and testifying of Christ and the Lord speaking into your heart so powerfully that it broke it. Wouldn't that let you know this wasn't of that person, this is of God? Wouldn't it? Look here. Why does he do it that way? That no flesh, verse 29, should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto his wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I didn't want all these things that he was having to write to them right here in Corinth now. Because it had come to such a head, he had to deal with. He said, I didn't want to even know those things. I just want to preach Christ to you because he's the one that's going to work it in your heart. The only reason he had to deal with those things is to stop that so he could preach Christ and they'd start focusing on Christ again. But listen, he says, I just want to preach Christ crucified. I was with you. Here's how I appeared: in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That wasn't of him. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we're talking about. All right, brethren. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we do ask you that you'd bless it, that you would make it speak into our hearts with your power and your make Christ to be the wisdom in our understanding. Give us the mind of Christ. Make us behold him in righteousness, and so that we can see, Lord, that we don't have any. Make us see him holy, separate from us, so we can see that in our flesh dwells nothing good. Make us see, Lord, how freely and fully and completely he's redeemed us from this sinful flesh and from this curse of the law and from death. And make us see, Lord, that truly he is our liberty. He alone could free us. He alone continues to free us. And he alone can one day finally free us from even the presence of sin. Lord, make us glory in you alone. Don't let us glory in our flesh. Make our faith stand in the power of God. Lord, do that for your earthen vessel preaching. Do it for your earthen vessels who are hearing that you're filling with his treasure. Make us to behold the excellency of the power by beholding Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you've done this for us and continue to do it for us. And Lord, we ask you. We need you every hour. Forgive us our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.